Bring the agenda up. Okay, roll call. So let the record show that all the directors are present. And can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved. So moved.
Second.
All those in favor of the agenda, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? All right, the agenda is approved. And first item is public comments. And I'll ask that anybody who wants to make a public comment to please raise their hand electronically. You should have an icon there that allow you to raise your hand. I'll give it a couple minutes for people to orient. Guys, let me know if you see a hand pop up there. It doesn't always sort to the right order for me. Okay. That's hard to believe. There's no public comment. Okay.
Is Tammy just hiding from us, or did you didn't punch her up, Wes?
I don't see a raised hand for...
I'm saying just Tammy.
Oh, just...
picture.
Is this Tamara's iPad? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. She likes to hide.
Yeah, okay. Okay. All right. Next item is agency reports.
There she is.
If there's an agency here, I may not recognize your... Is it G. Solario here?
Yeah, I was going to say he's a deputy or right. Watch commander.
Right. Let me ask him to unmute here.
Yeah, Deputy Solario's here.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Doing good. For the city of Wrightwood, we had 122 calls for service last month and a total of 4 reports taken and 2 arrests.
Okay. And... can you tell us a little bit about those arrests? Do you have any details on that?
Uh-oh. Looks like he's muted again.
Yeah. There we go. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
All right. One of them was possession of a controlled substance, and one of them was a drunk in public.
Okay. Okay. Now, I've been asked by some members of the public that sent me an email on this that there's somebody coming up the Heath Creek Wash and hanging around and trying to break into houses. Do you know anything about that?
I don't know about that. I went on a couple calls for service at I think it was Lone Pine Canyon cross of. It's right next to that wash.
Yeah.
About a subject that was kind of hanging out in the middle of the road. I contacted him a couple times. Seemed to just have some mental issues, but he wasn't trying to break in any houses at the time.
At the time. But
correct. Yeah.
Is there anything going on with this person? I mean, is there anything that you guys need to do or that we need to do? Is there anything?
He's off his medication, so it's not, he wasn't violent at all. He was just kind of looking at the sky and talking to himself. And at the time I contacted him, he was with his mother. So she was kind of watching over him and keeping on him. But yeah, he wasn't committing any crimes at the time I was contacting him at all. I would just keep an eye out for him. If his MO was kind of walking in the middle of the street, not trying to get in the way, it's just he kind of sees things that aren't really there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I heard reports, I don't know if this is true, I heard reports that he was knocking on the door and announcing himself as a marshal and to let him in, and he was breaking windows. I don't know if that's true or not, that's just the report I got.
Okay. To my knowledge, when I contacted him, that wasn't matching the description of that person. Okay. This is the first time hearing of what you just said.
Okay. Okay. All right. Cool. I'll report that back.
All right.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? Okay. All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Night. Is there any other agencies here? If so, raise your hand. I may not recognize your login. I don't see Susan. I think that's it for the agencies then. Moving on to the consent calendar, June 2nd, regular board meeting minutes. Chuck, do you usually check these things out, or is there...
They looked okay, Wes.
They looked okay?
Yeah.
So you look them over, too. Does that look okay to you?
I didn't see anything, that jumped out. Looked
okay.
Good.
Okay. All right, can I have a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So moved. I'll second the motion.
All those in favor of the consent calendar, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? All right, the consent calendar is approved. And number six, the general manager's report. Lori, you want to take it?
Sure enough. Oh, that sounded bad. Anyway, in July, we saw some projects get finished. The biggest was the delivery and installation of the engineered wood fiber for the playgrounds. We had over 30 volunteers show up to help. Some people just saw what we were doing and offered to help as they were passing by, and that was just amazing.
Yeah.
The playgrounds have also seen some deterioration on the equipment. There's a slide with a long crack that needs to be replaced. The toddler bucket swing just got replaced on Friday, so that's good. The issue with the slide is we cannot remove it without leaving pieces that somebody can get hurt on, and I have not been able to find a replacement. So I'm still looking into that, and I'll have more information for the board next month.
Okay.
Okay. We've got the new steps installed on both the front and east side of the building. We're waiting on the fabrication of the handrail, but the stairs look great, and it really spiffs up the outside of the building. The material for the bollards by the electrical panel has been paid for, and I've got a tentative date of this Thursday from Wes's brother, John. I'm in the process of finalizing the financial statements to turn over to the Edie and Payne auditors. They're currently scheduled to be here the week of July 27th. The dishwasher in the kitchen has been fixed, so it is now operational. And wanted to remind the board, the candidate filing period for the board is July 13th through August 7th for those positions that are going to be open.
Okay.
On your report, Lori, you've got the installation day of July 8th, which is Wednesday. Has that been pushed back to Thursday?
Yes. It was just pushed back as of today.
Okay.
Okay.
I also wanted to let the board know my proposed vacation for May never happened, in case you were wondering why. The COVID hit hard. It's tentatively rescheduled for October, and it doesn't affect any of the board meetings, but I don't know if it's actually going to come through or not. So I will keep the board updated.
I think we're all in the same boat.
I think summer was canceled.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. Very good. Any other comments on is there any public comments? And as usual, please raise your hand and I'll attend to it. And if the board could keep an eye on that, let me know if they see a raised hand.
I have a question in the meantime, although it's what about something Lori said, but it's directed to Steve. With potential candidates filing by August 7th, you said, Lori. Will we say we didn't have enough people file to fill the vacancies? What happens then, Steve?
To fill, you mean if there is
Well, there are a couple things. Is the question that the directors are unopposed,
No, like if our three directors that are up, their seats are up, if they decide not to run again, and then those seats are open completely, I mean, with no competition from them anyway, say if there's three seats open, what if there's only two people on the ballot? I mean, I hope that won't happen, but I'm just curious, what's our protocol then? Do we nominate somebody like we did when we replaced Stephanie, or how does that work?
So what would happen is the board, this board would do an appointment in lieu of election of people, of the two people that that have filed, and then those two people would be sworn into the board at the end of the election period, so that it would save the district the election costs. So you wouldn't have an election. The board would do an election in lieu of appointment to be effective after the election period. And then that board would then go through the process of appointing a fifth member to fill the vacancy.
Okay.
Steve, isn't that only if people don't run against those two in this example? If you have people running against those two open seats, then you've got to have the election, don't you?
Yes. And if, for instance, if the sitting directors file and no one challenges them, then you also have an appointment in lieu of election.
Right, right.
So that's how it would be handled. There wouldn't actually be an election. There would be an appointment in lieu of an election. And then when those individuals could be sworn into office, which is typically like the first Friday in December, something like that, then when those individuals be sworn in, then that board can convene and appoint a fifth member onto the board, or however many to fill the open seats.
Okay. Got it. Thank you, Steve.
And this existing board is the one that would, whoever's left on this existing board would be the ones to do it, or?
No, it would be after the new board members are sworn in, then that board would do the appointment.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Steve.
Sure.
Okay, anything else on the general manager's report? Any questions for Lori on that? Any public comments? I do see a raised hand from Leo. He is... Sorry, Leo, I didn't see that.
Yeah, that's... I was just trying to get myself...
Sorry, I'm sorry about that. I don't know. I don't know why that always happens to you.
Okay, Wes.
It's really weird. Okay, all right. Okay.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay.
Does he have anything to say or what?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Oh, okay.
He just recognized that he was muted and
I had to raise my hand.
Had to raise his hand. Okay, June 2020 financials. Chuck, have you looked these over?
Yeah, I did. Excuse me. Yes, I did. Pretty much what we had talked about when we did the 2021 proposed budget. You know, it's in that category. The one thing that I noticed when we add the depreciation and other things, you know, to it, we're now down to about 50,000 positive. So just something for us to be aware of, that's all.
Yeah, that's pretty thin, all right.
Did you see anything, Laura, in those?
Are you asking me? I'm sorry.
Yes.
No. As I say, we're at 57,000 positive for the year. That'll probably change a little bit once everything goes through the auditors, but for the most part, that should be it.
Okay. So the good news is that we have some money in the savings accounts. We're going to talk later about reserves and other things. So in that sense, we're good. But with $50,000, you know, the cash-wise, and I have the numbers for that coming up, we're not getting any more cash realistically until, when is it, December, January?
It's the later part, of November and December. You get a little bit in October. You get more. You get another hit in November, the end of November, and then your big hit in January.
So that's when we get the over $100,000 and that type of thing.
Yeah, this is always the thin part of the
part
of the year.
So just everybody be aware that we're looking at a good 4 or 5 months where we're tight.
Right.
At this moment in time.
Right. That's right. Okay. All right. Let me check the public comments here. Any public comments on this? And if you're on, I see one person on the phone there. You can raise your hand by doing *6. Should you choose to want to participate in the public comment, you can hit *6 and a little hand tip will come up to me and I'll recognize that and bring you on. Okay, let's move on here to reserve account. Item 8, reserve account, discussion and possible action.
Okay, during the meeting of November 5th, the board requested to revisit the reserve account balance at the July 2020 meeting. Our current balance is $14,022.12. The board voted in November to fund the reserves for replacement account at $14,000 and not fund the reserves for operation at that time. The reserve for replacement account is to be 25 to 50% of depreciation for the year. The depreciation for 2019-2020 was $33,000. Based upon the depreciation, the account should be funded at $8,250 to $16,500. The reserve for operations account is to be 3 months' expenses based upon Resolution 2019-10. 3 months of expenses is $106,805 if the average expenses for the year ending 6/30/2020 are used. I would recommend funding the reserve for replacements account at $8,250 and the reserve for operations account at $5,000 to get it started. And then I'd recommend looking at the reserve for operations account again in 6 months.
Yeah, I think that's a good recommendation.
Yeah.
I agree.
I like that.
Just so everybody knows, we have $110,000 in the checking account, I believe, Larry, at the end of June.
Yes.
So if we're taking the $8,000 and the $5,000, that's another $13,000. Brings us down to $97,000 in the checking account. And as far as the year end stuff, the $57,000, that brings us down to $44,000. So it just reinforces that I think it's smart for us to put it in the reserves, start building that stuff up.
Yeah.
But we're also cash tight right now.
Well, and our expenses are going to be a little bit higher, right? They're going to be higher at the dump because we don't have the pine needle program, right? That pine that means everybody's putting their pine needles in the dump. We don't have the income for the community building. You take all these things together, we better be very conservative and don't make any big moves here.
And I know we have some people in the audience that have brought up the classes for the kids under Parks and Rec. And that's just, I would love to be able to fund that. However, at this moment in time, I feel a lot more comfortable if we waited until the October-November time period when we start to build up our cash again.
Yeah.
Well, they can't hold all youth activities anyway within San Bernardino County, so it's not the appropriate time for us to be starting. We could be planning.
Yeah.
Right.
We can't start anything, and that's for like 3 weeks at least, and then they're going to reassess. And
everything is just on hold, right?
Yeah, I brought it up simply because the last two meetings, I think it was Nancy that brought it up and has been interested in it. So I just wanted to update her as far as that we haven't forgotten what she's talked to us about, but, you know, we're looking at a different procedure right now.
Okay, so so to get back to your proposal, Lori, what was your proposal again? Can you recite that again?
Yeah.
About which account?
The reserve for replacements I want to fund at $8,250, which is just 25% of the depreciation. And the reserve for operations account, I want to at least get started at $5,000.
Okay. Can I have a motion to fund these accounts?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All those opposed? All right, the motion carries. So let's do that, Lori.
Okay.
Thanks for the recommendations, Lori.
Thank you.
With Jenna.
Okay, so let's okay, item 9. By the way, I keep forgetting to check the public comments. I know it's don't see anything. I think we're good. Item 9, deep fryer in the kitchen. discussion and possible action. Tell us what's happening there.
Okay. Vice President Leo Hordijk, offered to pay for having Campbell's Appliance come out and fix the deep fryer in the kitchen. They looked at the fryer and gave me an estimate of $500 to $600 to fix it, if they could find the parts. A new fryer would cost about $800 to $1,000, and install would be about $150. I have checked, and we are unable to find anyone that has used the fryer in over 2 years. I recommend removing it and not replacing it at this time.
I agree with that.
The groups that do dinners in there and such, the general objective is as simple as possible, and I don't see anybody doing any frying.
To use the fryer, you have to put a massive amount of oil into it, use it, and then drain it. It's a big headache.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, I don't think we need a motion for that, do we, Steve? General manager can just do that.
Steve's muted, Wes.
Okay.
Oh, he's muted too, Wes.
And so is Tammy, by the way.
Tammy doesn't want to talk.
I talked to Steve earlier, and he said if I muted him, he'd be half his rage.
Did you get it in writing?
But the unmute is double the rate. I would suggest that the board approves, take a motion and second and act on
staff. Okay. Can I have a motion to remove the fryer from the kitchen, please?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Right. Motion carries.
I have a question for Steve. Do I have to put it separately on another agenda item to salvage that?
So you mean to throw it out for not having the value?
Yes.
Or dispose of it in some way?
Yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a great question. You do have a surplus property policy that dictates how staff would get rid of that and dispose of it. If there is any value, I don't know if there's any value to it or not. There isn't any. There wasn't any recommendation in the staff report about how to dispose of it. So,
I mean, what you could do, Lori, is just find out from the repair people. Say, is this thing of any value at all?
Okay.
And, would they like to have it? Right. Like maybe they could take it and repair it or something.
Campbell's won't do that. They're just there to fix it.
And they aren't even sure they could find the parts to fix it anyway.
Okay, so it just sounds like it's worth zero.
Yeah.
Right? It's just, I think it's just worth zero. And what's our policy for zero stuff? We just have to write it up and say this doesn't have any value.
Yeah, generally what would happen would be the manager would prepare a staff report with your surplus property policy attached, with her recommendation and the justification for whether there, how to dispose of it, whether there is a need for it for some other community purpose, or whether there's any salvage value for, for any salvage value, and if not, just disposal, throw it away.
Don't we, per our resolution, don't we have to offer it to the community first before we get rid of it?
It depends on what the recommendation is. If the recommendation is to put it up for eBay or auction or something like that, then at that point in time, it's get whatever the best value, best return on that property is.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my suggestion would be to for Lori to bring that part of it back with a recommendation at your next meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let me check the public comment. Don't see any public comments. All right, moving on. We got a rate variance of some kind here, item 10.
Yeah, the Lions Club is asking to continue the rate variance for the senior meal preparation. Their prior variance ended on May 28th. They want to continue that through the month of August. They're using the kitchen on Thursdays to prepare the meals, and Friday they're supposed to be picking up the meals and delivering them.
That's the soup program, right?
Right.
This is the GAMMA program for seniors?
Yes. The only issue that I wanted to let the board know about is they are not adhering to their original schedule. They were supposed to be in on Thursdays, only Thursdays and Fridays. Thursdays after, from 4 to 7, I believe, and Fridays after 12 to 2. And they're not adhering to those hours, so I don't know if the board is interested in that. I just wanted to put it out there.
Do you know why they're not?
Yeah.
Do you know why they're not?
No, I do not.
Vicky's on the phone, or she's there. Can she speak to it?
Let me ask.
Can you hear us, Vicky? Oh, there she goes.
Yeah. Hi there. Yes, occasionally it takes a little longer to cook a certain meal. If I have to put it on the stove an hour earlier, that sort of thing. And, or if I'm maybe bringing food in from the market, I have to get it into the refrigerator before the scheduled time. So there is a little bit of variance there. But first, I just want to thank the CSD, of course, for all that time they've given us. We have prepared over 800 meals to seniors during this time. And, we would just like to continue it because, obviously, the coronavirus is going to hang around for a while.
Yeah.
And
well, do you need different hours, Vicky? I mean, if you can't meet the variance hours or the disposed hours, do you need to change the hours?
Or extend them to give yourself more buffer room?
That would probably be a good idea to... make Thursdays, instead of 4, make it 3 o'clock to start. Because we're usually out of there at the time, mopping the floors and everything, cleaning it up. But if we can, on Friday, we're pretty close to the same time. Again, maybe 11:30 instead of 12. So it just gives us a little more time to get things...
Vicky,
do those times make sense to you, Lori?
No. I was just trying to... I cannot do 11:30 on Friday. The issue is I want everybody else out of the building and only them be the ones in the building. So Friday we need to leave it at 12, unfortunately.
Okay.
Because I want to have the co-op have time to get out and the staff have time to get out.
All right. I'll make sure we stick with that.
But what about the other day? That's one of the days. What about the other day, Lori?
Thursday from 3 to 7 is fine. Everybody's out of the building by then.
Okay.
And that's just because of the environment that we're all in right now, right? The pandemic?
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Is that okay, Vicki? Does that work?
That'll work. That'll help a lot. I appreciate that.
And then maybe an agreement that, Vicki, if other needs arise, you know, just communicate with Lori about it. Just let her know so that she knows when to expect. Because it's tough to monitor the building if you don't know, you know, who's supposed to be in there at what time. So if she could just, you could communicate with her and double check that whatever adjustments you need are okay.
She's been doing a really good
and
job
I have
of that.
I've also talked to the other volunteers to make sure they're aware. They're not supposed to go through the main building. They have to go around to the back door in the kitchen. And I've made sure everybody's updated on their food service handle certificate or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
So they're aware of all that requirements. I also have copies of those certificates if Lori wants those.
I think it's a great program, and I totally support continuing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's great for our seniors.
So how much longer do you want to extend this thing?
Hopefully just through August.
Okay. Can I have a motion to extend the variance for the Lions Club through August with the hours on Thursday at 3 to 7 and on Saturday the standard hours that we had before?
It's Friday.
Friday on me.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Okay. Yeah. Hey, Lori, does Vicki need to come back and change that
sheet? One second, Leo. The motion carries. There we go. Sorry. Yeah. Now go ahead. I'm sorry.
Hey, Lori, does Vicki need to come back and update that variance worksheet, or can you do that?
She doesn't need to. I got it.
Okay.
Okay, great. Okay, we'll wait a minute for public comments. Vicki, I'm gonna thanks a lot for your comments. I'm gonna mute you out, okay?
Thank you.
And Vicki, thank you.
Thank you, Vicki.
For doing this. I think it's a great program. You know, the seniors appreciate it. Gives them somebody to talk to at least.
Yeah.
Right.
Thanks, Vicki.
Thank you.
Okay, so next item. Number 11, proposed parking lot rental.
We have had a request for renting the parking lot to hold a craft fair. The tables would be supplied by the vendors and located 10 feet apart. Both vendors and customers would be required to wear a mask, and hand sanitizer will be available at each booth. No more than 25 people would be allowed into the shopping area at a time, and the vendors would be limited to 18. No food will be served, and no unpackaged samples will be given out. And per the direction from the board last month, you guys wanted to see any proposed rentals. Here we go. These are her this is her plan. And
you know what sorry,
that's okay. And Dominique Bram is the one who is proposing the rental, so if the board has any questions, she is online to answer anything.
I'm going to unmute her right now.
Do you know what the date is, Lori?
25th, I think, Natalie.
Yeah, and actually, if there's any way I could talk to you about what's going on in the future. So I'm the one who does the events there on a, you know, pretty regular basis. This event was originally scheduled as a Mother's Day event in May. So I currently have 50 vendors who have been on hold for us to do something. So I currently, I mean, I've got dates booked through the rest of the year that I don't even know if I'm going to be able to do with the current situation, you know. But I would love to at least be able to do enough to take care of these vendors that have been on hold already for months.
So you're saying this event would have 50 vendors?
No. So I will have to break them up. There's no way I can do because if we're only talking outdoors, and I mean, I don't feel safe being indoors. I don't want to risk my vendors, you know, and I think as few as possible is the safest, okay? So I had originally had, the May 2nd was originally the date. So the plan, the hopeful plan, and again, I mean, I know it's so hard to judge because who knows what it's going to be like in August or in October at this point. So it's all kind of in the air. But I currently have an August 29th reserve there, and then an October date. I don't know off the top of my head, but I can figure out or find out. And so, I mean, if we could just, you know, maybe talk about all three of them at once, because I'm going to have to break it up into at least the two dates, at least, you know, the June 25th and the August 29th date to be...
You mean the July 25th?
I'm sorry. July 25th, and then I had, I believe it's August 29th, I could verify that, that I had reserved to do another event, but I'm not booking any more vendors, I'm not planning any more events until this is all cleared up, to be quite honest. You know, I don't want to start booking people when we don't know what the future holds at the moment. I'm just concerned about these people I have now. I'd like to do, you know, a couple smaller events where we, Lori was saying, 18 max, 18 vendors max would give me enough space where I can fit them all in the parking lot and the park area. And to keep it, we don't get large group squawking. It's not like Mountain Year Day where, you know, a lot of people there at once. We can maintain it. I can have vendors at each of, like, the entrances selling masks for anyone who shows up without masks. I personally am not taking a booth, so I can mandate the wearing of masks and kick out whoever is not wearing one, what have you. I've made a hand sanitizer that I'm going to put at each of the booths, and it's a spray hand sanitizer, so it's very safe to use for other people as well, kind of thing.
I think the board is open to whatever you might propose, but I think you would have to propose this in writing. You know,
okay.
what the rules are, what you're going to do, what your plan is. Hey, masks are required. You're going to sell masks, all the things you mentioned. You're going to have sanitizer. You're going to have this many vendors. They're going to be separated by this distance. You know, we need to see the plan.
Okay. Well, we can
approve each plan for each event as things come up. But I gotta say, the closer it is to today, I think that's tough to do.
Right.
I mean, if the governor's out there saying, "Hey, you know, we're gonna close the beach, we're gonna, you know, close all the bars or close everything down again,"
right.
So I can't see us.
I know, and that's my dilemma too. Is like I've got these vendors on a hold, you know. I feel terrible. I'm trying to do the best I can, but I want them safe. I don't want to bring a bunch of people up. You know what I mean? I'm in agreement. If it was me, as far as I'm concerned, I would just reschedule it for next year. And I've got some vendors who are completely cool, and they're like, no problem. Once we're able to get back indoors too, that's when I want to do it. And I'll hold these vendors for as long as I have to.
We totally get it. You just have to have a written plan and propose that plan.
Okay.
Well, you know, their first date is July 25th. So, you know, how do they put a plan in that we're not going to meet until August?
It's not going to happen for that. Yeah.
There's no
written plan yet.
So,
for that.
Here's the other risk, Dominique, as well. Right now, the governor is saying no indoor gatherings.
Right.
Like restaurants indoors have been closed, but outdoors still okay. So even if we were to approve it, right now, which we don't have the written information, Wes is saying, but that would still, for me, be... The motion would be, the approval would be completely dependent on the current state of affairs. So if something changed between now and then, you'd still end up canceling on your vendor.
Honey, honestly, I'm afraid to do it, okay? I mean, I would do it under the most, you know, secure ways of possible. And to be quite honest, we don't know what's going to happen. After the 4th of July, between us, I'm expecting a shutdown again, okay? I'm expecting them to say another 3 weeks and we're on lockdown. So we're going day by day, but I have to have something, you know, even, and I know it's so hard. I mean, it's like, it's one of these things.
I mean, Dominique, we can make you no promises, okay?
I know.
You have to get it over in writing, and then we'll make a decision on that. I mean, really, we've got nothing else to say about it.
There's other things, too, in the sense of we require insurance.
I have that.
We require the paperwork that the vendors, or not the vendors, but the person putting it on, Lori, help me out, that they sign off on it.
Dominique is okay with her paperwork. She did send me an email with these things proposed, and I just typed them up for the board. I didn't include the email.
I'm sorry. What was typed up for the board?
It's in the board agenda packet.
It's in the board. Yeah. It's in the board packet.
Page 19.
It looks like a plan to me. What's typed up in here, like we request, you know, tables will be 10 feet apart. Both vendors and customers will wear a mask. No more than 25 people would be allowed in the shopping area, and vendors would be limited to 18.
Yeah, I saw that, Natalie. I'm hearing though that. Is there a proposal for the cost?
There's no cost involved. I mean,
she's not asking for a variance.
She's not asking for a variance.
She's just asking to run the event that she's been running for years.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Wes was saying to come back in writing with, you know, how it's going to be implemented, but this kind of looks to me like a plan on how they want to do it. Do you want something more formal, or
if Lori already wrote that down, that's exactly what I was proposing. If there's anything in addition that you need, I'm more than happy to, you know, go jump through hoops to make this happen. But I mean, that was what I was able to come up with to make it safe.
Wes, what else are you needing from her besides on what's on page 19?
We just need the plan for what date and if we approve that plan. But I mean, I think the first one is what, July 25th?
Yeah,
but the only thing on here that's not on here is the date, July 25th. It says.
Well, so if it's July 25th, we know the number of vendors we're going to have on July 25th and all that.
Yeah, she's limiting her vendors to 18.
So it's 18 on July 25th. Okay.
Yeah, 2 days, July 25th and August 29th. If we can approve the two under the same variant, awesome. If not, I can fill out another one, or, you know, or send you something in writing for the 29th.
That's okay. I don't see this as, if we have the same rules we do for the farmer's market, I don't see much difference.
I don't either.
Great.
I do hesitate to approve both right now, but I mean...
I mean, let's put it this way. I completely understand, you know, we don't know. It might become July 20th and they shut us down again, and whether I have it scheduled or not is irrelevant because I might not be able to do it.
Yeah, so it's all subject to mandates by the county.
Of course.
Okay, so we could probably approve the July 25th if the board wants to do that, if we think that's okay. And the rate would be established by whatever. What's our standard rate for that?
It's normal rate.
Yeah, it's $13.50 an hour.
$13.50 an hour. So it's just the standard rate.
Right. No rate variance
really
at all.
She's not asking for a variance. She's just Lori's bringing this to us because we decided at the last meeting we'd be case by case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's revenue.
I'm good with it.
That way, Leo.
Do we need a motion?
We definitely do.
Yes.
Can I have a motion to accept the proposal for July 25th for outdoor? What's the name of the outdoor event?
I think hug it summer event or so. I mean, like, I could call it anything. Lori actually has a flyer.
It's a craft fair. That's what we need in the minute.
Okay. Can I have a motion to
thanks, Michelle.
Do craft fair in the parking lot at the standard rate for July 25th?
So moved.
I second it based on the county still approving it at that moment in time.
Yes, contingent on county regulations.
That's given, yeah. And honestly, I don't think my insurance would cover it if the county who said no.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure that would be irrelevant in that case. So.
Okay, let's do the vote.
Okay, can all those in favor of the motion say aye?
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, the motion carries.
Before we move off of the subject, I quoted you the wrong hourly rate. It's $17 an hour.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Okay.
Peter will really be paying you.
thanks a lot, Dominique.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Have a great rest of your day, people.
Thank you. All right, give me 1 second here. Looks like you're going through a time portal there, Chuck.
I'm sorry?
Nothing. Okay, so item 12, construction project bidding requirements. Steve, you want to speak to this?
Sure. Thank you, members of the board. Following the last board meeting, a question arose regarding what the legal requirements, statutory requirements, as it relates to competitive bidding and prevailing wage that the district is required to comply with, and whether the board should adopt policies consistent with that. So what you have in your agenda materials is a memorandum that I've prepared that outlines the legal requirements that the district must comply with when it comes to competitive bidding and when it comes to paying prevailing wage. And so what you see in the memo is references to the public contracts code as it applies to community services district. And basically under section 20682, any time that the district purchases any materials and supplies for the construction or completion of any building structure or improvement that is over $25,000, the board has to engage in a competitive bidding process. It's not the process that you're familiar with where your general manager gets quotes and then you go with the low bid. It's one where plans and specs need to be prepared, and then you publish notice of that and in a newspaper of general circulation, and you wait 10 days, and then you get written bids, and then you open those, and then you decide whether or not, you know, then you are bound to go with the apparent low bidder unless that bid is non-responsive or the bidder is not a responsible bidder. So if you're pretty close to that limit on the next project that's on the agenda. So it's something to keep in mind, and that $25,000 requirement and the notice of seeking bids applies not only to the purchase of construction supplies, but also under 20682.5, the construction or completion of any building structure or improvement. So it's something that we need to be aware of as it relates to.
But the trigger is $25,000. Is that
the trigger is $25,000 and it has to be construction related.
Steve, the original one we had was $27,000, but that included the steps that we spent what $6,008 or something. Does that put us now at under the 25?
That's a really good question. It's a really good question because you are prohibited from splitting a single project in multiple parts in order to avoid competitive bidding.
Well, yeah. We were doing it to avoid it.
With respect to this particular project, I would agree with you. I think that the work that was being for which obtained quotes was such that they were segregable, and in fact, you were able to segregate them. They are part of a larger whole, but in general, that's something that you will see public agencies trying to do, is weighed up. We're over the 25,000.
Oh, I see.
Let's break this up and then do it that way. I think in this particular case, with this particular project, you don't have that particular situation. But it is something from a policy standpoint.
Right.
Okay. The other part of the memo deals with prevailing wage. And that is that basically any project that the district lets for maintenance work, construction, alteration, demolition, installation, or repair work, or street or other improvement work that's over $1,000 does require that the district pay prevailing wage, which is the wage posted by the State of California Department of Industrial Relations. And it's typically a higher rate than you would normally pay if you're negotiating a contract specifically on a private basis. So
it's really high.
Yeah, so that's something to also keep in mind is as a public agency, you are subject to all of the statutory prevailing wage requirements.
Well, if one of the contractors gave us a bid and we wanted to do it, but he didn't want or she didn't want to pay their people the prevailing wage, we couldn't award it to that contractor. Is that right?
No. That's correct.
Okay. Yeah. No. And in fact, it's just against the law. It falls under the same law that says you're not paying minimum wage. It all falls under the same penalties and everything. You have to, you know, if you're required to pay that prevailing wage, you have to get your subcontractors to pay prevailing wage too.
Right.
Like if we hire a general contractor and he has subcontractors, that subcontractor has to pay prevailing wage.
Yeah, most of the contractors I've talked to, they know and they are asking, does this need to be prevailing wage? And they are told yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Steve.
All right.
Thank you. Any public comment on this? Before I move on, don't see any raised hands. Okay.
Do we need to vote on that?
Well, the only thing that there's nothing to vote on.
Okay.
But there may be direction on whether or not the board is interested in bringing back a policy for consideration as it relates to competitive.
I think we are, but. I don't think there's a big rush for the policy, but I think we should. I think we got to wait for a significant bid to come up to where then we should maybe take up the policy.
Okay.
I don't know what else unless the board has other members of the board have a comment on that.
No.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Okay, item 13, community building repairs, special and possible action.
Okay, last month the board approved the new stairs, but the rest of the projects were tabled. I still have the same quotes from last month and have not been able to get any others. However, I have been in contact with Caltrans, and to do the drain project, we would need to apply for an encroachment permit.
Yeah.
That permit, we also have to apply with a county permit as well. And I know the encroachment permit for Caltrans is $82 an hour. And that's to review the plan, inspect the plan, and any field work. And they also charge us for equipment and materials. And then some of the things that they require as part of the plan is a location map, a structural plan. They need the length and size of the proposed pipes and possible regional water quality control board filing may be needed.
Oh, jeez.
Well, that's all pretty standard stuff, though.
Okay.
I mean, the encroachment permit and all that stuff is probably about $3,000, just in my experience. But we don't have the money to really do this right now anyway. I think we got to hold off on this project. Given the fact that our costs are kind of floating around here with higher dump fees and all the stuff we talked about before, I think we should hang on to our cash a little bit.
And be conservative.
And just see where we end up. later on during the year, and we'll reactivate those. It'll come up again.
Okay.
So I don't think I would bring it up on the August agenda, but perhaps perhaps September we should. You should ask. Yeah.
And Lori, the bids that you put in, which were from last month, did those include the stairs, the $6,800 we spent for the stairs?
Yes. On the Doran construction, it does include it, and in the Sanderson landscaping, it did include that as well.
Yeah, my question is just simply, if we hold off for another couple months, that helps us, I think. But right now, we're showing bids of $26,000 and $27,000. So I think we need to get a bid which shows without the stairs so that we're under that $25,000 threshold when we decide to go ahead with this.
Okay.
All right. So, okay, let me check your public comments, see if we have any here. Let's see. All right. Item 14, per capita grant.
Here is some good news. I received notification on the 25th that the allocation of the per capita grant has been made. The Wrightwood CSD portion is $181,504. It is contingent on the state budget being passed. The next step in the process is attending an online class on how to file the paperwork with state. This is a class every grant award area needs to attend, and we do need to look at the items we would like to use the grant for. Now, I have a couple of things on here. Like, I would like to paint the building, all the buildings, and do a new floor in the community building. And also the one playground, the 5 to 12-year-old playground, because of that slide issue, should probably be replaced. And I'm estimating that's like $82,000 for those three projects. And then I've got a whole other list of stuff that we could do.
Well,
I would like to see us do, Al did this way back when, he'll, you know, hold some meetings where we get input from the community, and, you know, I would think it should be you, Lori, and maybe a couple directors or whatever to meet with the community and see, you know, what's on their mind and what they would, you know, propose.
But isn't that what this meeting's about, though? I mean, where, you know, these meetings, people can comment, we can go over it. Maybe we should do a better job of posting about this and saying, come to this meeting and give your opinion on it. But
but we could also, Wes, you know, have, during these meetings, is get input from the community or whoever bothers to show up of what they're actually looking for down the line. Not necessarily that we're going to do it with this 180,
But my point is, we could agendize that on a regular meeting, and people can come to the meeting.
Well, whenever we get a place to meet, I guess, would be okay, too. So, you know, I don't know how feasible it is with the Zoom, because we certainly have some seniors and whatever that don't do the computer stuff. And the one thing that I would like to see, if we can figure out how to do it, I agree with the playground stuff, but I'd love to see if we could expand the office. And I'm not talking about outward, you know, north or west, where you'd have to put in roof and, you know, that could turn into be very expensive. But what if we just put, you know, a couple walls up inside the community center to expand the work area for Lori and Tammy? We're also going to have sooner or later, we're going to have a Parks and Rec person. You know, it'd be nice for them to have an area to work in and files and that type of thing. And, you know, if you have two walls and a door, I don't think you would have to take away that much from the inside of the building. And it'd be a hell of a lot cheaper than doing it outside.
Well, okay, these are, you know, there's, I'm sure everybody's got their laundry list and stuff. But on this issue, Lori, this is not a, so we have to fill our, this is not a guaranteed thing. This is a.
Not until the governor approves the budget.
I thought he approved it the other day.
July 1st.
Okay, yeah. I didn't, I was not aware of that. I missed that one.
Yeah.
So is it really a done deal or?
According to what the email that they sent me, this is going to be our award.
Hey Wes, I have a question here. The grant, isn't there like a subject on what it's for, like a parks and recreation or?
Yes, it has to be parks and rec related, but that can also mean the community building. That can mean the playgrounds, expanding the office. All of that stuff could fit into the grant.
Yeah, but I mean, if it's for Park and Rec, I don't know. That's a kind of a stretch, right? Going out, we need a bigger office for Parks and Rec.
I agree.
I mean, it should be for Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
As I say, it was one of the examples that they gave that it was inclusive of that, something like that.
Well, I'm looking forward to whether you put it on the agenda or whatever, Wes, as far as what people think. That we can use that 180 for, because I guarantee we ain't going to do a park for $180,000. I mean, Al's proposal was $2 to $3 million, you know, a few months ago. So I'm not sure. And again, that's hard and whatever.
Well, we don't know yet, right? I mean, that playground equipment, all that stuff's very expensive. I mean,
it is.
It's pretty shocking to hear that's going to be $82,000 for. You know, fixing equipment over there. So
on that equipment, I talked to Lori and Tammy about it, and they went back in the files, and it's been there since 1997.
Yeah.
So you've had 23 years of it being out there in a whole bunch of weather. So I think it's something that we need to address.
I tell you what, I'd like Lori to go through the stats. Let's see if we really get it. I don't think it's quite the done deal. I mean, California sounds pretty broke. So it's amazing to me that they would continue on with these kind of grants and stuff, or would they put them off? I don't know, but
I'd like to know if it's in the budget that was passed.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
The grants.
I agree with those comments 100%. I'm not. In fact, I have clients that are concerned about the money that they have in their reserves and the state coming after that money or holding back tax money.
Yeah.
You know, even though those things were not part of the budget that was passed, and special districts money is so far not part of dealing with the state deficit. I've been around doing this for a long time, and I remember a few times
it has
done this, and I agree that the money isn't there until the money's there.
We don't have
a contract. You may have an appropriation or an allocation, but there isn't anything in here that says that that you have a guarantee. And I've seen those grant contracts, and even the contract is conditioned upon the state funding it. And they impose that as a standard grant condition now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember when Al was doing his proposals and he had meetings with the community, but even back then, you know, it was like, well, we're going to have a minimum type of thing. But it's not guaranteed. None of this stuff is guaranteed.
Yeah. But I just don't want to count on it at all. We should get through the process first to really make sure it's there, because I remember when the state was issuing IOUs, and Garcetti, you know, the mayor of LA is begging the state, you know, for money so that they don't have to lay people off.
Well, I'm not that old, Wes. I don't remember that. So.
Yeah. Well, it happened.
I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, so Lori, let's just march through the process and see what we get.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Thank you.
I think we live in interesting times.
In the least.
Okay, let me check and see if we have any public comments. No? Okay. Okay. Item 16, board positions, discussion, possible action.
You missed 15.
No, 15.
Oh, did I? Okay, I'm sorry. CSD building opening, discussion, possible action. Thank you.
And, seems like a tough time to open it right now.
I don't think my vote would be no.
I don't think anything should change from last month with this new requirement from the county again.
Yeah.
Agree.
Yeah, I don't think.
Agreed.
Okay, can I have a motion to keep the community further notice?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Right. Motion carries. Any public comments up there? No? All right. Okay, item 16, board positions, discussion, and possible action.
Okay, just because July is the beginning of the fiscal year, we have the opportunity to appoint a new president and vice president.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
Can I weigh in on this?
Yes.
You are already required to, the board is required to appoint those officers within 45 days of each general district election. So the appointment process is not tied to any fiscal year.
Okay, I misunderstood.
So my recommendation would be to hold off on this and then agendize this sometime in December with the new board's been submitted.
Yeah,
works for me.
Mm-hmm. You sure you don't want to be president?
You're doing a fine job, Wes.
I don't know.
Fine job.
I don't know. Leo is fighting at the bit to get in there.
I've got my hands full.
You got the right chair.
Yeah, he does. Okay, let's see if we have any public comments.
Wes spends all his time at the beach anyway, so.
Yeah. it really doesn't this tempt anybody?
I know.
I'd love to travel. They won't let me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay, item 17, permanent appropriations limit measure.
I have one question. I think you and Natalie did a good job. My question is, you put in here measure W. Has San Bernardino actually made that?
No, we don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's a really good point. And I'll provide maybe, Lori might know more than I. I talked to the registrar in San Bernardino, I asked her specifically that question, and how they determine the measured letter is based upon the Elections Code Section 13116, and it's basically just kind of how the measures come in and get filed with the county. So they'll be coordinating that with LA. The time we got in early, and the time frames are still open for all of that. So we don't.
Yeah, when I talked to him, also the registrar, I suggested Measure W, and he said exactly what you said, in the sense of they have their own procedures to go through, and whatever they decide this measure to be, they will correlate with L.A. County,
yeah.
So it's not anything we have to do to both counties.
Right.
But they're the ones that determine what it is.
Yeah. When I talked to her, she also indicated to me that the deadline for the arguments in favor or against is July 20th at noon, and the rebuttal is July 24th at 5 p.m. The arguments, the word count cannot be more than 300 words for the arguments for and against. The rebuttals are 250 words. The impartial analysis is 500 words. That will be prepared by county council. And so we have the ability to submit both the argument and rebuttal arguments into the voter information guide under that deadline with those word limits. The document that was prepared by President Zuber and Director LoPiccolo seemed to be well within the word count.
And this would have to get to the registrar by the 20th of July?
Correct.
Okay.
And the registrar will contact us if there are any arguments against, so we can do a rebuttal.
Right. Do we have to do a resolution for this argument?
I think the resolution that you've already adopted is
on the appropriations limit. Yeah.
Yeah, is fine. I think this is just one where minute action would be fine on the argument.
Okay.
Regular minute action.
Yeah. I'm fine on what you and Natalie have done, Wes.
Nice work.
Okay.
Did it make sense to everyone? We tried to keep it pretty simple and straightforward. Did it make total sense to everyone else?
Yeah, I think you guys did it good, and you kept the word dummy out of it. So I didn't.
I mean, the word not in caps.
I want to make sure that people understand this is not a new tax, because it could be very confusing, right?
It could be.
I mean, often measures have a tax implication, and so you want to be able to say, hey, this is not a new tax. We're just getting our piece of the pie from the property tax that goes to the county anyway.
Yeah, because L.A. County's got something like 20 propositions or whatever, or maybe that's the state. I don't know.
Hmm.
They got a lot of them this election. They're trying to get rid of Prop 13, by the way, guys.
Well, half of it at least, right?
Yeah.
I can't imagine. I know this is a side thing, but I just can't imagine. I mean, the amount of strain that commercial property is under right now. And to reassess all these guys and tax them for their commercial property seems almost criminal.
Well, that's never stopped them in the past, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I'd say go ahead and send it in. Be my position.
Yeah. Okay.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay. All right. No action.
Can we get a motion and...
Yeah, okay. Can we get, can I have a motion to accept the language for the appropriations limit measure?
So moved.
I'll second the motion.
All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, motion carries. All right, let me check the public comments. Oh, it's been awful quiet. I hope I'm working right here.
I know, because we have a lot of people here that like to talk, but they're not raising their hands.
I'm not going to accuse anyone of that. Yeah, I don't see any. Okay, I don't see anybody. All right, future board meeting. When's our next future board meeting? August 4th.
You kind of skipped.
What did I skip?
18 and 19.
I must have an old agenda here. Let me see.
Part two of our closed session.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I do have an old agenda. Sorry. Okay. So we need to go into a closed session. It's a little bit tricky in that I need to kick everyone out. The public, if you guys could sign out. And then we'll come back and what length of time should we open it up again? Well, we'll see. I'll just they'll be able to get in. I'll just unlock it. They'll be able to get in. Once everybody logs out, then I'll lock it,
and it'll be a closed session.
Still no.